Scripture will come from Luke 12, verses 35 through 40. Luke 12, verses 35 through 40. Let your loins be girded about, and your lamps burning, and be ye yourself like unto men looking for their Lord, when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he cometh and knocketh, that may straightway open unto him. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and shall come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, and if in the third, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched, and not have left his house to be broken through. But ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you, Brother Woods, for that reading from the Word of God, and we bid you a pleasant good morning. Thank you so very much for being in our worship assembly today. We hope that you brought your Bible with you, a notepad possibly, for making a few notes that might be spiritually helpful to you. We hope that you have a copy of the Family Matters, which gives for you an outline of our lesson this morning and the scriptures that we will be noting in our lesson today. About once a month, we're talking about things that might help parents in the raising of their children in a responsible, godly, and righteous way before God. And we'd like to continue the thought for the month of June this week by talking about how we go about implanting responsibility within our children. Our children certainly deserve to learn important lessons from us and to acquire important habits that will help spiritually from us as their parents or grandparents or guardians, those who guide our young ones, because we wish for them to have a sense of well-being as they grow into maturity, a well-being before God. Really, that's the bottom line, most important thing, isn't it? For a person to be brought to maturity, to have a spiritual maturity before God, to be able to glorify God by living in this life in a way that's righteous and good and holy, a way that follows our Lord Jesus Christ. We want our children to grow up to be responsible adults and to have a sense of the needs and the feelings of other people. And it's important. Today, many of our children are not learning responsibility in their homes, and that's reflected a lot of times when our young people can't see anything wrong with cheating on a test at school, or can't see anything wrong with taking something that does not belong to them. And it's important that we instill within our children principles of righteousness and how to be responsible for those very early on in life. As crime has increased in our society, teenage offenders are showing less and less regard for their victims. There's a failure of teaching them how to be responsible people. But even for the youngsters who will never commit a crime, it's still better for them in this life to learn responsibility at an early age. In the Ladies' Home Journal, there was an article entitled, "I Reared a Criminal." A heartbroken mother wrote this about her child. "We loved him, but his father was too busy to be with him when he was young. I couldn't bring myself to punish him for misbehavior. We sided against his teachers when they complained about his work and conduct in school. As he grew up, he would hardly discuss the time of day with us. He was expelled from school. We gave him money so that he would not steal again. I wept when the police called and said I had to turn my son over to them. As I watched them search him, my life seemed to end." That's not the only person who's gone through an experience like that with their children. That certainly reflects a failure in bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, bringing them up to be responsible people in our society. Well, what is responsibility? I've combined a few definitions for you from various dictionaries so that we can think about the basis for our study today. It involves personal accountability. A responsible person is an accountable person. I'm accountable for what I say and what I do in this life. I have to answer for it. I am a reliable person, a trustworthy person. I have the ability to act without guidance in a lot of situations, without an authority standing over me in a superior fashion to tell me every move to make in life as I continue to mature. The principle of responsibility is recognized on nearly every page of the Bible. It's there. In our text that was read for us this morning, this particular parable, you can see a basis that had to exist in people acting the right way. The right way for them to act was to be faithful in their duties, to be watchful for their master when he returned. Without a sense of responsibility in those people, they never would have been watchful. They never would have been faithful in their duties to the master. And so ingrained in that parable is the concept of watchfulness, to be faithful in duties. The text says, be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps lit. Be waiting for the master when he returns. Be on the alert when he comes. Be ready, the Bible says. They would never have done that had they been irresponsible. Luke goes on to say in that passage in verse 42, and the Lord said, who is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants and give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. You see, the ones who are responsible, who carry the mantle of responsibility in their lives, who are reliable, who are trustworthy, those are the ones who are accountable and reliable and capable and answerable to the master. Those are the ones that are rewarded by the master. So even in the Bible, many pages that we could look to show the great value of teaching our children to be responsible in this life. Well, everyone is responsible for some things, aren't they? Everyone is responsible for today. Just thinking about this very day, the present time, you can't change the past. What is done is done. God certainly offers His forgiveness and His loving hand of mercy for us, for our failures, for our mistakes, for our sins. He can cover those for us. But the fact remains that your past actions become a part of your life, the history of your life. You do not have to live in the past or let the past rule you. That great mighty principle taught by the Lord when the woman who was taken in adultery was brought before him in John chapter 8 in verse 11. And the words that he said to her are indicative of this very principle of living in the present day. Go, from now on, sin no more, he said to her. The past is over with. It's water under the bridge. But change your life direction today. Be responsible today. Go your way. Live your life. But don't sin against God this very day. You cannot change what has happened, but you have to live through it and you have to live with it. You cannot affect very much of the future at all. And by this I mean, there are forces in the world over which we have no control whatsoever. The wise man, Solomon, said in Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 11 that the fastest runner will not always win the race. And the battle is not to the warriors. Bread doesn't always go to the wise person. Wealth doesn't always go to the discerning men or of favor or ability. Time and chance overtake them all. There are circumstances and purposes of life that men don't see sometimes. And there are forces in the world that we cannot control to set carefully the outcome of our lives. Some things are controlled by the immutable laws of the universe and cannot be changed regardless of how much we may desire it. Our Lord said, "Which of you, by being worried, can add one single hour to his life?" We don't have control over those things. Other things are in the hands of God and are best left to His direction, His will, and His desires. He causes the rain to fall on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous in Matthew 5 and verse 45. The practical Christianity promoter, James, wrote in his letter in the New Testament, in James 4, 14 and 15, "You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" There's so many things that are beyond our control, but we can make reasonable plans, and we can reasonably have expectations about the future, but the future doesn't always turn out to be what we wish for it to be, does it? It's out of our control. What we have is today. Today is yours. This day is yours, and that's what you have to work with. Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow," in Matthew 6 and verse 34. "Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And the wise person learns that in life, don't they? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about things tomorrow. You have enough worries in this day in which you live right now. We need to do the very best with what we have today, and realize that there are choices and decisions in that day, and make those in this day. And the choices that we make today will affect us forever. Romans 2, beginning in verse 6, "God will render to each according to his deeds." And that he's telling us of a major event that's going to happen in the future for every man. Those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor, immortality and eternal life will be theirs. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation belongs to them. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. God is not partial. But he's telling us that something's going to happen in the future, and that should help us shape our today, shouldn't it? Shape it for ourselves and for our children in a way that reflects that we want to be responsible people. We want to be accountable. We want to be reliable before our God. Those choices that we make today are important because today is all we have. We're certainly responsible for ourselves. And I think that most folks recognize that in principle, don't you? Don't you think that most people really, really recognize that they're responsible for themselves? But the problem is sometimes we just don't act like we're responsible for ourselves, do we? We don't own up to that in our practice a lot of times. Each one will give an account of himself to God, Paul wrote in Romans 14 and verse 12. And that includes being answerable for what we think and say. And as we look at our children and want to raise them in a responsible way and raise them to follow Jesus Christ, we want them to be careful about what they think and what they say. That's so very important. "Watch over your heart with all diligence," the proverb writer says. From it flow the springs of life. We want to mold and shape the hearts of our children so they will be responsible people. foremost, they will be responsible people before God. They'll love His Word and love Him and love the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that was made on their behalf too. That's so very important. Jesus said, I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, that makes me afraid. That makes me afraid because I let my lips sometimes get out way far ahead of my brain. And I don't think that problem is too uncommon. I don't think it's an uncommon. I think everyone sometimes has that problem, don't you? But the Bible is careful to give us those warnings, to be careful and to guide us back into a responsible way. And that's important for our children, too. Now, our thoughts may not always have the same consequence as our actions, but our thoughts determine what our words and actions are going to be. And if we're going to have to account for our words and actions, should we not be careful about the thoughts that go on in our hearts, where those spring from? I think that would be a logical conclusion. Mark 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, theft, murders, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. You know, the list just kind of goes on and on of the evil that men do, the way that they think and the way that they do, that proceed really out of the heart. We may change our thoughts and even regret our words, but we're still accountable for having had them. And their character determines the nature of our heart from whence they came. Jesus talked about the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. But the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart in Luke 6 and verse 45. So we're responsible ourselves, and we need to teach our children to be responsible and pay attention to those things too. We're responsible for what we fail to do. If we're a failure at doing something that God has required of us, we're responsible. I'm responsible for my failures. You are too. I'm responsible for what I refuse to do. And you are too. There have been many people in the history of God's people that you can read about in the Bible that just absolutely refused to do what God commanded them to do. And they suffered for it. And righteously so. That practical Christianity exhorter, James, once again said in James 14 and verse 17, therefore to one who knows to do the right thing and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, we sin against God when we know what the right thing to do is, but we don't do it. We let our old self get in the way, and we let Satan tap us on the shoulder and whisper in our ear and tell us what we need to do. And it may feel good, and that may be what we're powerfully enticed to do at the time for some reason or another. But that's not good. It's sin in the eyes of God. And Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one that judges him. The words that I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. We don't have to be clueless about where we stand in relation to God. His word's very clear. And it tells us what to do and how to act and what to believe and the thoughts that we need to have in our hearts that will bring forth good things out of the good treasure of the heart. So all of us are liable to forget some things, and I'm not talking about a lapse of memory here, but I am talking about just outright open rebellion and neglect. Those things are bad, and they're irresponsible. We're responsible when our will is such that we don't do what we know is right. We're responsible for that. When we insist on doing what we know is wrong. And there are many, many powerful enticements in this world that can call us away from what's responsible and what's right. And overpower us. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, the appeal was that people would come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will, as opposed to God's. And Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first, and that shows the entangling and overpowering nature of this world and the enticements of this world. That we can find ourselves all caught up in if we're not very, very careful. The fact that we are subdued by them does not release us from accountability, though. We have to put up a fight. We have to put up an effort to do things that are right and good before God. Choices have consequences, don't they? In the realm of the physical, you learn the principle that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. But in the realm of the spiritual, we learn from God's Word that every action has a consequence. And the consequences for good actions are good, and the consequences for evil actions are bad. That is a principle that we see throughout the Word of God. All men are free and have the power of choice. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. You know, the choice is for men. If you hear, you'll be blessed. If you hear His voice and you do not harden your hearts in that passage, God will bless you. But if you don't hear and you harden your hearts against the will of God, there's trouble. There's trouble brewing for you, and you won't escape, is the idea. You're free to do whatever you want, but you're not free from the consequences. You're free to go up in an airplane and jump out, but you're not free about which direction you're going to go. I guarantee you, you're going to face the consequences of jumping out of an airplane, and you're going to head toward the earth with increasing speed. I hope you have a parachute on. Once you step through the door, once you make that choice, the consequences are going to be brought to bear on you seriously. You don't have a choice then. You've already made your choice. All you have is consequences to be faced with. And that's what the Scriptures teach us about the consequences of our actions. Ezekiel wrote a long, long time ago, in chapter 3 and verse 19, it said, if you've warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. Those will be the consequences. You've warned him. He doesn't turn from his evil way. You know, he makes that choice. He's free to choose. But he does not turn from his evil way. He faces the consequences. He dies in his iniquity. General Jerry Johnson said it very well when he observed this. No man was ever endowed with a right without at the same time being saddled with a responsibility. And I think that's true. We do not have to make some of the choices that we do, but we cannot avoid the consequences of our choices, is the idea. And blaming others for the consequences of our choices is very, very foolish, isn't it? We can't shift blame to other people. Now, a lot of people have tried. The book of God is filled with examples of people who pointed the finger everywhere else except at themselves when they were caught up in folly or wickedness. There are many examples in the Scripture, but from Genesis 3, you know, Adam blamed Eve. Well, she gave it. The woman that you created for me, God, she gave me that, and I ate it. He blamed her. And of course, Eve blamed the serpent for the sin that took place there. But all of them were punished, weren't they? You know, pointing the finger of blame somewhere else didn't remove the consequences of punishment that was due. In 1 Samuel 15, Saul blamed the people for his rebellion. The people made me bring all of these animals back here to sacrifice to God. The people were responsible for that, but that didn't fly with God. God took his kingdom away from him. In Exodus 32, Aaron said to Moses, "You know these people. You know these people that they're prone to evil. And they brought their gold to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this golden calf." You see, that didn't work. He was still responsible. He was held responsible for his actions. Pilate, in the New Testament, tried to wash his hands and demonstrate before the people that I don't have any responsibility in this. You people are the one that brought this Jesus here to be done away with. I'm clean of the responsibility. I wash my hands. You see to it, he said. But that didn't remove his responsibility, did it? Every person who makes a choice in life has to face the consequences, and these did also as well. Well, teaching our children to be responsible should be very important to us. Jesus taught us how to teach responsibility. We can and we must do so for the good of our nation, our community, for the good of our families, for the good of the Lord's church and the future of it, if there is a future of it. For the good of people, our children. Learn that one is responsible to the limits of his ability. That's important for parents to know that when trying to teach their children to be responsible. And Jesus taught that at least in two parables and probably others. In the parable of the talents, you remember that he gave to each according to his ability. He blessed them with these talents to work with on the basis of the ability they had in Matthew 25:15. And in the parable of the unfaithful servant in Luke 12 and verse 48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required, he said. Early training, therefore, should consist in gradually giving responsibility to our children according to their newly acquired abilities. And that principle is used to teach some lessons in the New Testament. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 4, 1 and 2, and talked about the heir, the firstborn child, the heir of his father. And he says, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he doesn't differ at all from a slave, although he's the owner of everything, prospectively. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father." He's using that example to teach a principle there. But you see that basic principle of gradually giving responsibilities, of guiding our children until they're able to handle greater responsibilities. Paul, in his great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, mentioned this principle in teaching the most wonderful things about love that are in the pages of the New Testament. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I used to speak like a child, I think like a child, I reason like a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things." So just by that simple example, there's that responsibility and the guidance of that responsibility into more mature things. So duties about the house should increase based on your child's age and skill level, with a view, of course, to making that child responsible when he's adult. That's the end product that you want to get to. Titus chapter 2 talks about a very fitting role for the older women who are Christians, that they likewise be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips and so forth, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, Titus 2 and verse 4, to be sensible in the next verse. To be sensible, pure workers at home, being subject to their own husbands so that the will of God will not be dishonored. And as you continue to read through that passage, you see that the young men are encouraged to be sensible in that passage. Because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we are to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, because we're looking for this hope that's in Jesus Christ, and He's going to redeem us and so forth. Notice that, though. Teach them to live sensibly. And teach the older ones to guide the younger ones to live sensibly. Would teaching our children how to be responsible people fit into that category? I think absolutely it would, don't you? And so, the older ones teaching the younger ones to be simple might say something like this: let children start early to take responsibility for themselves, and let them start in small ways, and then graduate to bigger ones. For instance, encourage your young children to brush their teeth or dress themselves in the morning, even though you can do it faster. Give them self-care tasks like putting away their toys and making up their own beds. You might want to chart that for them on the refrigerator, and they'll start to see themselves as capable and competent, and that will lead to a desire on their own to be responsible people. That might be something that an older person would say to a young mother to help her in teaching her children to be responsible. Or a father might say to his son who's raising his children, he might say, let your children know that their contribution helps the family, and it benefits the family. Little by little, give your child chores that child is responsible for. Start with easy things like setting the table or like feeding the pets. As time goes by, they can move on to other more responsible things like vacuuming the floor or washing the dishes or doing laundry. Is there not a smile in this house today? Is it easy to get your children to do things like that? But you start small, don't you? And you progress to other things. When responsibility is given, of course, when you give that responsibility, there has to be accountability. You know, that's a great lesson. Isn't that a great lesson? Because God gives us responsibility, and we are accountable to Him for the responsibility He gives us. And what greater lesson could we teach our children than to be responsible and to account for that responsibility? Jesus taught this in many parables. In Luke 12 and verse 47, the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. Luke 12 and verse 47. Matthew 18 and verse 23, for this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. The one talent man was not punished because he didn't do as well as the other two servants. He was punished because he didn't do what he had the ability to do. And because he had the ability to do it, he was responsible. He had the obligation to do it. And a wise parent recognizes, of course, different levels of ability in their children, and you deal with those children on the basis of those levels of ability, don't you? But a foolish parent would not realize that. But when parents do not make children give an answer for their actions, they eventually will have rebels that they have to deal with. And that's a much more severe problem, and it's going to stomp on your heart. And it's going to break your heart to see your children behave in that way. Start early with them, then. Teach them accountability. You are responsible. You answer for this responsibility. You remember in the Old Testament, there was an example of a man who failed to restrain his sons. He failed to bring accountability to reality in their lives. And what happened? What happened? His whole family was destroyed. the prophet said about Eli's sons, for I am told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. He did not hold them accountable. You see the very dangerous behavior of failing to teach our children to be accountable. In order to teach responsibility, it's really necessary to let the young suffer the consequences of their choices. Now, we don't like that. We don't like to see our children suffer with anything. We don't like to see them unhappy. It breaks our hearts when they cry. We just don't like it. As a grandparent, I don't like to see my grandchildren cry. We just are uncomfortable about that. But we have to let them suffer the consequences of their actions. Because without that internal suffering of those consequences of making the wrong choice, without that, they'll never grow up to be responsible people before God Almighty that they should be. They just won't. And that's why the prophet said in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. And that's very, very important. When parents are given gradual responsibility, they are able to help lessen the severity of the consequences in those gradual areas of responsibility. And children learn that the consequences can be serious by learning from the results of their lesser responsibilities when they are younger. And it's better to learn that each must bear his own burden, Galatians 6 and verse 5, when that burden is a household chore or a missed assignment, homework assignment, rather than a job deadline or a utility bill when they get older. It's important. Teach them while they're young. The older person guiding the younger person in the way that would teach their children responsibility would say something like, irresponsible behavior oftentimes brings natural consequences. Doing a poor job on your homework naturally results in a lower grade. Parking illegally may cost you a parking ticket. And in such cases, parents shouldn't just go in and immediately bail their children out and fault the teacher for their bad assignment on their homework and go pay the ticket for them. Let them suffer their own consequences. And with them, focus on how they can do better next time. If they've broken a rule, we need to find a way for you to earn your trust back again. Some statement like that made to them will help. And link those privileges with responsibilities. If a child wants to go to the hamburger house with his friends, okay, you can go if your chores are done first. You know, those very practical things can help. Parents have to be an example, of course, themselves in setting a responsibility for themselves. Job said in the long ago, even if I have truly erred, my error lodges with me. In Acts 25 and verse 11, when Paul was being examined, he said, if I've done anything worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. You know, if that's the just punishment for what I have done, I will not refuse it. You know, that sounds like a responsible person to me, doesn't it, to you? That's what Paul said. Your children will never learn to be mature, helpful, resourceful, and responsible member of any community if all they ever see is a parent that blames everybody and everything for anything that goes wrong and refuses to accept responsibility and just twists and writhes and convulses under the consequences of the bad choices that the parents have made in life. But our children need to learn better than that. And we need to be responsible and help our children to grow to be responsible. Our children can do that if we're trustworthy. If we say that we're going to be home from work at a certain time, then try our best to be there. If we're going to be home for supper, we tell them we're going to be home for supper. Be there. Unless circumstances arise beyond our control. And when that happens, and it eventually will, you know, give a call home and explain that in a simple way. And that builds trust, and trust builds responsibility. And there are a lot of helpful things like that where we can help our children to be responsible. And older Christians are a great source for some of that practical information. You who are raising small children, use them, consult them, ask them to help you. They would like nothing more than to be able to help you with some problems that you're having raising your children, or if you want to sharpen your skills or try to do something better for them. They can help you. They're a great resource. There are all kinds of biblically based material that you can consult that will help you if you're open to that sort of thing, because you have a desire to teach your children to be what they ought to be before God. Just in a way of conclusion, the writer of the Gideon wrote this: I vividly recall attending a Rotary meeting in Illinois for a few years with my friend, Gypsy Smith. I was sitting next to him at the speaker's table when suddenly, just before he rose to speak, he asked me to mark very carefully his closing words. When the moment arrived, he lifted high his well-worn Bible. How many of you men can recall a saintly mother and a godly father who loved this book, read it, lived it, and its principles seeped into you? Practically, the entire group, with moist eyes, raised their hands. Then quietly, Gypsy swung home this deftly question: with all of your influence today, how many of you are so living that your children will remember you for your faithfulness to this same book? It was a tense moment. I felt the impact more than Gypsy did, for I knew a few there whose children are today's problem. No hand was raised. If we want to teach our children to be responsible, there's no better book on this earth than God's book. Example after example of lives lived before God, mistakes they've made, corrections that could be made, principles of truth to live by that will bring honor and decency to our children. It will teach them self-respect, reliability, trustworthiness, to be responsible above all before God. May God bless His holy word and the fruit that it bears in your life. If you're in our assembly today and you're not a Christian, we'd ask you to seriously think about these eternal matters. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you in that belief, willing to confess Him before men, willing to repent of sins, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, as the Bible teaches, to be faithful, even under persecution and difficulty? Will you do that for Jesus Christ today if you haven't already? If you will, this very day, we will help you. We will help you this morning. Have you sinned against God, and you're not in standing in favor with God this morning because of sin in your life? Repent of that. Do it now. Pray to God to forgive you. He will. If you sin in a public way that demands public correction, we as forgiven people ourselves stand ready to pray with you and for you that you might be forgiven of God this very day. Can we help you? If we can, please come and let us know while together we stand and encourage you by singing this song.